Hello and a warm welcome to this brand new series, AI Unplugged, where we unravel the world of fintech for you. In today's world, commerce is fast, complex, and data heavy. You can shop at the click of a button, but when you press pay, you rarely understand where your money moves or how it moves. At today's scale, merchants who handle various payment channels at once can struggle to decipher the data goldmine they own. Because now, payments are not just records, but insights that guide decision-making. This is why fintech providers are racing to build AI-led systems that offer end-to-end solutions to businesses. In this series, we will discover what goes into creating a robust payment software infrastructure and how exactly it works. We will examine the changes already set in motion in India's fintech space and plot how innovations will shape our future. Now, what does AI transformation actually mean? No one can answer this better than our guests today. They are innovators who reinvented themselves and overhauled processes to deliver what modern commerce needs, not just tools, but a complete business ally. Joining us are Shantanu Singh, Product Manager, and Sakshi Bisht, Software Developer at SubPaisa, India's leading payment gateway. Welcome to the show, Shantanu and Sakshi. Delighted to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Shantanu, first to you. You know, let's start off with the journey. How did it all come about? You know, tell us something that you would like viewers to know and listeners to know how SubPaisa was 2 years ago and how it is now. If you were to describe SubPaisa in one sentence 2 years ago and now, what would the difference be?
All right. So, first of all, thank you for having us. I'll start from the beginning wherein, you know, the whole payment game was on. It was 2016 wherein we had demonetization, and that's when SubPaisa was also established. So when we were established, we started as a payment gateway, payment provider, wherein, you know, we were serving government merchants, education merchants, and small SMEs. So we were not a fancy, very full-fledged payment infrastructure, but we were dependable. We were like simple, but we were working for them. So we were serving them for like last, right now also we have all the government and education merchants all with us. And I think right now, once the whole thing has changed, right now we have changed from being dependable to being robust, dependable and faster.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Very well said. So just to understand that, and it's a supplementary, 2016-17 and demonetization clearly is a, it probably was a trigger for those transformation to take place within SubPaisa also. But who were your customers then and who are your customers now?
I think it's all about how do you scale. Once you go into the payments market, you have your customers, like we were into education, small SMEs, government bodies, right? We do still have them, but we are scaling to e-commerce and other stuffs also, other verticals also. Like travel is also a part of that scaling part. So it's all about how good you are making products, like what problems you are solving for users and how fast you are delivering and how is your product useful. So I think having said that, like all which I have said right now, my user base, I don't distinguish between them that, you know, I had that user base, X user base then and Y now. I kind of segment them into the verticals and then I kind of track the conversion rates and the retention rates.
Absolutely. Sakshi, you know, something shifted. When did you realize that things are going to get a little different here and are beginning to get different? And, you know, was there a specific conversation that took place that kind of served as a trigger for this transformation? And were you seeing some things that others weren't seeing? Tell us something about that.
Yes, absolutely. Transformation has happened in SubPaisa. There were clear points of inclination. Firstly, I would say that market was changing. Merchants do not just want a payment gateway. They just want wanted a whole solution which include the refund, settlement, everything, reconciliation, everything in a single flow. Secondly, last year we had an annual meet which was held in Jaipur, where our leadership has laid a vision, which includes some points. And one of the major points was that SubPaisa has to be an AI-first company.
That's right.
So from there, after a few weeks or a few months, we can say that we have given it for the research and everything. And then we have started the implementation around it. And yes, that was the point when this shift has happened.
Yeah, so I'll come to reconciliation in a bit. Shantanu, but let's move to specifically on AI. And this is now, we are entering the very long, if I may call, the high noon era of artificial intelligence. Everyone is talking about artificial intelligence. Yeah. And we are also seeing changes taking place in our own lives in every aspect. But tell us something. You were in the middle of bringing about transformation. You are a practitioner of AI and at a very massive scale. What is noise and what actually is the transformation that AI is bringing? What does your own experience say?
All right. So from a product company's perspective, right, you can, you know, replace an old feature with a new AI-based feature and you can say that, you know, it's a transformation, right? But that's not a transformation because the user is still the same.
Yeah.
He's facing still the same issues. So the transformation is something different. How would you use AI in order to enhance the user experience, the end consumers? That's where we were figuring out that what to do with AI that, you know, scales us or penetrates us deep into the market. And fortunately, it was such a boon to us that, you know, these tools, they have a very good sense of research, good sense of market numbers and all of that. And with the help of these tools, R&D and the dev and the delivery to the users became so fast that, you know, once the issues were also coming, we were able to solve them really quick. But so the GTM was really fast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting point you make. The GTM or go-to-market was very fast. But was there something that you tried and actually did not work?
I mean, you know, you as a product manager, I was into the legacy product management skills, right?
Yeah.
I was using those skills to take things in control. So I was used to take things in control. I used to take my own time, research, figure out everything is working and then go to the dev part, right? Now things have changed. So while I was adapting, there were mistakes. We were making products which were not actually working, which were not actually fit for the market. But again, it was so fast that you kept on learning, and then you figured out that, you know, this thing, this product would work, this feature would work, and this is how we would be delivering it and at this speed.
That's right. You know, Sakshi, technology is one thing and changing technology is one thing, but here we are talking two things. One, we're talking about changing technology at scale in practice. That is one aspect of it. But the more important aspect is that we are also talking about mindset change. It's a complete transformation in also attitude and approach to work and trying to solve problems that we previously thought that we would not be able to. You know, it is about trying to bring about how changes in how people think. Tell us something about it. How did this all come about in the area of work that you're doing in SubPaisa?
Correct, sir. So the hardest part here was the change in mindset. Earlier, what we were doing that let's make this product work or this particular feature work for this particular client by doing some fixes. We have to change it to let's make a product that will work for 10,000 merchants without any human intervention.
Right.
So that was the mindset that needs to be changed. When people saw that SubPaisa has come live within few weeks instead of the months of building, that doubt has been faded by the belief of the employees of the SubPaisa. So yes, the real demo of our applications, of our products, were the game changer here.
You know, Shantanu, let's talk about some very specific real problems in the finance space.
Exactly.
Let's talk about reconciliation. And there was a mention of it previously in one of our questions. People in finance call reconciliation the place where souls go to die. There are 10 different things that are being juggled at the same point in time. And of course, there will be lots of misses along with a few hits. Tell us something about it. How did SubPaisa go try and, you know, achieve some kind of an equilibrium where there are many hits and fewer misses?
Yeah, I think the statement was funny, but it was accurate. Finance team, so legacy, when you talk about fintechs in 2016 to 2022, let's say, so PG works like there's a PG file, I'll be very layman, and there's a bank file, and you have to reconcile and then settle to the customers, right? Before, prior to this 2025 or 2024, there were no engines to kind of reconcile all of these things, like transaction to transaction. There are millions of transactions happening every day in the fintech space. So finance team used to kind of get the whole transactions on Excel, and then they used to do a VLOOKUP. Everything was manual and everything was very messy because you cannot have 10 lakhs, more than 10 lakhs record in an Excel file. So you'll have to divide Excels into several parts. And being at SubPaisa, right? So we are a startup. We're a steadily growing startup, and we found that, you know, in order to solve settlement, reconciliation was the one thing which we'll have to automate. But again, the nature of the product settlements is that, you know, it won't be made in a day, right? But how do we gain that speed to kind of reconcile, make the engine which is so robust that it automatically detects the transaction and matches it in real time and gives you the insights also.
So what happens when reconciliation fails? What is the actual cost?
So once reconciliation fails, you cannot settle what's not given to you by the banks.
Right.
So you'll be, first of all, you should not settle. And in case you settle, in any worst case scenario, you'll be having a fund loss. So nobody wants to have a fund loss in case wherein you haven't received anything from bank, but you're still settling to the, you know, merchant that amount. So there's a whole financial thing involved in it, wherein the company can suffer huge losses. Also, there's a bad or worst merchant experience in case wherein you say that you have done 100 transactions and I have 80 in my databases. So those are two crucial things, the merchant experience and the whole financial support of the organization.
You know, Sakshi, let's talk about online stores, and there are templates galore. There is Shopify, there is Instamojo, and there are dime a dozen. And it's a little crowded now. It's not just in tens, it's in hundreds. Is that actually helping or just creating more noise? Do you think it's just getting a little more crowded without actually trying to solve fundamental problems in that space?
Okay. So honestly, that there are many products in the market which are offering thousands or lakhs of templates. Yes, this is a noise, adding a one more product to it. But what is differential here with the conversational store, that small merchants do not know the UX, the funnels, the market and everything about it, that how they want the layout. They just want, they just know their business, what they are doing and where they are doing and how much they want to like excel in it and expand it. So what they have to do, they have to converse it with the commerce that this is their business, that this is they are doing. So we have simplified the solution for them, specifically for the smaller merchants.
And what if there were just a hypothetical scenario? What if there were no templates at all? What would be the kind of struggles that a small merchant will go through?
If no templates at all, a merchant would have to land on a page wherein he has to create a page, add colors, add logos, all of that. You'll have to do assisted onboarding, assisted, you know, help in making a payment page altogether. But what if I say that, you know, go open my dashboard, go to templates, and if you're an educational institute, just click on the educational template and you're accepting payments right away. So that was the trigger. So it is also a payment solution only, but how are you presenting it? You're presenting it in a no code solution. So you have to do no code. So that's how. And as she spoke, right, the conversational store, which we're talking about, right? Up Shopify's and WooCommerce of the world, right? They have 200 plus templates all over. But in order to us to create same thing again, we won't be able to compete also, to be honest. And we didn't want to do that because we had something which they don't have. We kind of figured out that, you know, using AI, using LLM models, we can just ask merchant to just say or type and just create a page at real time.
Right.
You just don't have to click on the template also.
That's
go to the chatbot and create a page.
You know, tell me something about three products that would have come about in the last 1 year. How long would have taken otherwise, and how long did it take in actual?
Interestingly, talking about settlements, talking about Quick Paisa, and talking about payment gateways also, payment gateway as a back-end product. In the legacy years which I talk about after 2016 and let's say till 2024 also, it would take around, easily it will take around 9 to 10 months to build a robust settlement engine altogether. That too a very good scenario I'm talking about.
Right.
But, and same goes for Quick Paisa and conversational store we are just talking about, we would not have attempted it also. Because we knew that, you know, these two products will take like 1.5 years altogether with all the bandwidth of the dev and the product.
Mm-hmm.
So, so now you have something which can solve things, which can deliver in like weeks, not in months and years, right?
Absolutely. You know, Sakshi, a little bit of a individual question, this transformation, what is the cost that it has come about personally as well as professionally? And at some point in time, did you start questioning yourself, is it really worth it?
So yes, this change has cost me the comfort of being settled or the comfort of certainty, because I had an expertise in the backend development. So I knew that these are the edge cases, this much we have to do, and this we can expand and learn. So here, when we were doing with the, when we were learning and building a product with the AI, we were learning new technologies, new tools and everything in a new framework. So yes, it takes time, and sometimes I do get myself doubts about it, that if this disruption was worth it or not. But after the results and the outcomes come up, that we can able to build the products within a few weeks itself.
It may have come with a little bit of cost of comfort, but a great degree of fulfillment and sense of accomplishment. Exactly. Too. Finally, Shantanu, final question to you. This is an Indian company building at speed, at scale, at a very global level. And a very global scale. What does it mean for you and the company, and also for the country? And you tell me one thing, a very basic question, is that what is it that is being done now, and why wasn't it possible before?
All right, so simple answer would be that, we were not exposed to these models. Like, we knew that, something has been cooking up in the Silicon Valley, but we were not exposed to this. So we kind of made products at that point of time that were so stitched into the legacy system that, you cannot just barge in AI and disrupt everything, right? So like once you're trusting that, something would work, and the cost would be giving your all in it, right? Days and nights, but what you get is speed. So speed is one thing that AI solved for us. And talking about this whole Indian ecosystem, the fintechs, right? So we do that much of payment that combined US, UK, and Europe won't do,
right,
at this point of time also. So in order to scale and serve our customers, the time is moving so fast that without speed and without the accuracy of the delivery, we cannot survive. Nobody waits for products right now.
Absolutely.
Once you think about a product, once you plan, you will be seeing that something has been delivered already by the competitors. So we'll have to be on that track. We'll have to include AI in our daily operations also, and in the whole point, in the way of thinking also. Like, why would I need to think for 3 hours? Let me place 5 points and let's see what the model has to say. Because of course it is powerful. So it is all about trusting into the changes which world is kind of accepting it, this was it.
So it's a great made in India, build in India, make in India success story, where we can build, goes on to demonstrate not just a proof of concept, but also that we can build at scale. So thank you so much, Shantanu and Sakshi, for taking the time out and sharing a deep insight and perspective on a range of issues. Thank you so much for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with
us.
Thank you, sir.
So that was the product story, how one crucial decision turned ideas to reality and condensed the product development lifecycle from months to days. But products are as good as the people who make them. And any real change has to start ground up. In the next episode of AI Unplugged, we will bring you the coding wizards who made all the difference. Until then, take care and stay tuned to AI Unplugged. Thanks for watching.